This is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. We are all now living through a difficult time. More than ever, we are being called to turn toward the light of Christ and to follow Him. So our work doesn't stop. In fact, it's more important than ever. Please consider making a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, between now and Divine Mercy Sunday, April 19th, to help support our efforts to offer spiritual guidance, love, and hope to the world. Hit the donate button at discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the Discerning Hearts free app. Thank you from all of us at Discerning Hearts, and God bless. We now present Monsignor John Essif. How are you this morning, Monsignor?
Thank you. Very well. I'm kind of still celebrating Easter. Today is Easter. It's Easter all week long. It's Easter for the whole octave. This is the joy of Easter is really long-lasting, and the celebration is quite joyful liturgically. Yeah, it's quite an event of the church calendar.
Yeah, it sure is. This is the kind of time that people are really, you drift away because you're angry or dismayed or confused, or you hunker in even deeper in your faith, don't you think? I mean, you cling a little bit tighter, you grab a little, you seek out even more so, or you go the other way. It's kind of what we are as humans, isn't it? It's either this way or that way. It's never really it never just stays the same. Would you say that's true?
Yes. Yeah, you either go deeper, because our divine life is either going to be, it doesn't stay still. We either drift away or we go deeper into Him and through Him and with Him. We don't stay static. It's not that constant a life in this world. It's always shifting, and the sands are always shifting, and it's really kind of sandy, and it's not a macadam road. You step out into it, and it's the desert, and it's sand, and it's always moving. And you never quite can tell where your moorings are. I really believe that we have to keep our eyes on the Trinity, even with regard to Jesus. If you only tell the Jesus story, you can get lost. What we really must tell is the story of the Father who sent the Son. And tell the story of the Son who came and suffered and died and rose. And then, it's so a key is to tell the story of the Holy Spirit. Without the Trinity, because our God is a three-person God, He is Father, He is Jesus, and He is Holy Spirit, which does what? Incarnates Him into us. Through and with and in the Holy Spirit, each of us becomes rooted in God in eternity. So that without the story of the Holy Spirit, that it must be told along with the story of the Father. The Jews learn so well the story of the Abba, the story of the Father, and they preserved it for us for many, many years, and they were faithful guardians of the story of the Abba. Even when the Son came, they failed to recognize Him because they got their eyes off of the Father, and we're concentrating more on their own nation, their own, and preserving Israel. They felt that Israel had to be preserved. and it is better for him to die for the nation, which all of us, with regard to our own status, have to be careful of. You can't become so set on the church that you keep only the church, and churchianity is not Christianity. And the mistake that our fathers made in Israel was they concentrated, and when Jesus came, they missed it. And they crucified him. And we also must now pay attention to the Spirit. It's Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit who dwells within each of us, that came to us and was the one, he is a person of the Trinity, who came upon us on Pentecost. Jesus kept promising that I will send the Holy Spirit, and he came upon the whole world as well as on the apostles. And he came on them, and what did he do with them? He transformed them. When we read the story in the Acts of the Apostles, all sound, all fury, Peter now takes on a monumental change, and he becomes Christ, rooted in him by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the 12, because Jesus had a knack for picking out losers, Matthews and the weak ones of the world, he chose them, public sinners, and he chose the nothings of the world and transformed them into this band of apostles. And we read on the day of Pentecost, this is today, that the church brings this to us. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the 11. Now there they are. They had rounded out their numbers with Matthias. And there's Peter and the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you, staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to my words." Is this Peter? "You who are children of Israel, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds and wonders and signs which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by a set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by death. For David himself says, 'I saw the Lord ever before me, with him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exulted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. My brothers, one can confidently say to you about this patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew the God had sworn an oath to him that he would so be one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus. Of this we are witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he poured forth the promise of the Holy Spirit that he received from the Father. You both see and hear. Here he is proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and has brought this about not only for him, and this is going to be the story of Easter, this Easter, not only for Peter, who then himself goes up to that Palatine Hill in Rome and gets crucified. And he and all the 11 lay down their lives for this great truth, because each of them became and were filled with the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit dwelt in each of them. And that same day, they baptized 3,000, and they were converted. What must we do? Be converted and receive the Holy Spirit. And yesterday, when I saw those Christians, who was Francis there in the Vatican behind those closed doors? He is the Peter of our day. He is the successor to that apostle. And who is the bishop that I was looking at in my diocese and that you were also? In him dwells Christ. And who are you? You are Christ. That's the story of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon you and you were baptized, you were transformed into by water and the Holy Spirit. Each of us, when we, yesterday, Alleluia, 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 we are an Alleluia people because we will not die. We are going to live forever. And each of us has a part to play in the salvation of the entire world. Not just Peter is sent out to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just Peter is sent out to proclaim his conquering, Jesus conquering over sin, over death, and over Satan. You and I are. We are filled with that same Holy Spirit that transforms each of us into Christ. We have this same mission. We are one with him. Everyone who is in Christ is his body. We are united with him. Not just Peter, who was on and the apostles and their successors, but every single one who is married. When you receive that sacrament of holy matrimony, Christ in you, through your baptism, through your confirmation, through the Eucharist, that you see, We have so talked about the real presence in the Eucharist, but the real presence is in you. You are Christ in the world today. It's through you and with you and in you that He, Jesus, walks around in this world, proclaiming all day long yesterday. Yesterday, I got 50 telephone calls, and my phone was called, and everyone had this beautiful message, and they were either in their families, they had this buzz that they were doing as a family, and then just everyone was so filled with the joy. Yes, there is the coronavirus. It's still there, but it has not overcome us. This pandemic, which is all around us. You know, I was in my room all day, and then as I'm here, and I had a retreat from Detroit, and we were doing a retreat by phone, and so there was no visitors. There was nobody coming here, and I had Mass with myself, my own holy self, glorifying God in my room and praying for the entire world. Myself here with my map of the world. And through you, Chris, and with your discerning hearts, able to speak to someone in the world who is listening and telling them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How because of Jesus, death is not the end. That through him, through Jesus and his death on the cross, and he died, and he was buried, and your relatives and your friends who are dying in the pandemic, coronavirus, they close their eyes and they open them. And some died of cancer. Some died yesterday. There were all different kinds of people that I was talking to. Some died in different ways other than the coronavirus. But we all face death. And we all did not get depressed by that. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death for the first time. And he appeared to his apostles. And he appeared to those who are so intimidated and so afraid. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the discouraged disciples on the road to Emmaus. He is Jesus, alive. He suffered, he died on the cross, and he arose. And he taught us that Christ, who is our Savior, when he came into the world, came in with a mission. That same Jesus is alive in you and me, as we are all Christians. When I saw on the TV, you know, I saw this military chaplain in Japan with our troops, and the beautiful homily that he was giving and talk to those troops and who were in Japan. And they were all listening in their cars. And he had that community there so that they were able to feel and experience their Christian community, hearing the word at Mass, being there with their chaplain, and receiving the message of salvation again. And what a magnificent thing it was to see that. And then hearing from a Protestant chaplain on the TV, and hearing my own bishop, and hearing and listening to the message of our Holy Father at his Easter Mass. Jesus is living today in his body, the church. What is the body of Christ? The Father sent each of us, each of you, the whole body, all of us, into the world. There's one third of us. There's 2.5 billion of that body. That's the human body and the human framework. Even in the United States, we're only 6% of the world's population. And so as we face the pandemic, along with the other people of the world, not to be afraid. What's the message? And then yesterday, the joy and the alleluias that were pouring out of God's people. I was so joyful and happy with my brothers and sisters all over the world.
Final thought, Monsignor?
Keep me safe, O God. You are my hope. Keep me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, my Lord are you, O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup. You it is who hold fast my lot. I bless the Lord who counsel me. Even in the night, my heart exhorts. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body, too, abides in confidence, because you will not abandon me. You will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. Keep me safe, O God. You are my hope. Alleluia. God bless.
Thank you so much, Monsignor.
Thank you.
Do you still have a big day today?
I hope it'll be today. I was putting on my things as I got up this morning, and as I prepared for the day, and one of the great things that I was saying, it's now. It's not yesterday. It's Easter Monday. It's now. And we are alive. And here we are in this world. You will show me the path to life, fullness of joy in your presence, the delight at your right hand forever. It's now. For the forever of heaven is going to be now. At the hour of my death, it's going to be now. Mm. It was now.
Well, beautiful.
Yes, it's today.
Is that what it means? It means in a real way to live in this present moment?
To just
be very appreciative and responsive to what is happening today?
Yes, yes. It's every day that you have to live. It's now. It's not yesterday, because that's gone. That Easter day is gone. Today is Easter Monday, and it's now. And tomorrow is Easter Tuesday, and it'll be then. But nothing is quite like now, and it has its own specific nowness to it that I am able to enter into. And whatever it is that is now, I can face it and look at it with the eyes of Jesus. because of the Holy Spirit who dwells within me, because of the Father who sent me. And I can constantly say to him, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do now?
Well, thank you so much, Monsignor. I hope you are having a great day right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to Reflections by Monsignor John Essif. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com. And in particular, please share this particular reflection with them during this difficult period in the life of the church and of the world. And join us next time for Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.